Hi everybody, Adam here, just quickly checking in before we start the podcast to say that if you run or own or work for a business that would like to target thousands upon thousands of engaged football fans with a product or a brand message, then get in contact because Grand Old Team is the leading destination for fans of Everton Football Club. We have opportunities to leverage our huge platform, including video and this very podcast. So if you'd like to speak to us to see how we might be able to help you and your business, email us on hello@grandoldteam.com.
And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakechi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And it, you know, your history. It's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam. Theo Walcott starts to validate his £20 million prize tag and prove the doubters wrong with two goals against Leicester in a much-needed win at Goodison. Seamus Coleman symbolises all that we love about Everton with an out-of-body performance on his return. Mangala joins on loan from City. Luckman darts off to Germany and leaves Allardyce fuming. Boris signed Besic. Sandro goes back to Spain. And I'll be joined by Mitch from BN Sports to look ahead to the match with Arsenal on Saturday evening. All that and more coming right up. So yeah, hello, welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. Thank you for joining us again. A little bit of a strange podcast, this one. Well, not strange. Kind of strange in a way because I'm on my own talking to you on my own and I haven't got Groucho on the line and I'm just going to kind of run through some observations on last night very quickly. But that's even more weird because I wasn't actually at the match. I missed it because I went to, I'm in between changing jobs basically and I went out for Cantonese food with the people I worked with and then decided to skip the match. I know, terrible Evertonian, but sometimes these things happen. And I had brilliant food. The ribs I had were terrific. And all the meanwhile, I was getting notifications on my phone. And I was like, trust this to be the match that I've decided to miss. It sounds great. And then it got a little bit shaky towards the end. And then I've watched the 20-minute highlights today on Everton's website. So, bit of a strange one. I'm just going to quickly just pick off a few points. Obviously, got a few observations to make and also, the news that happened on transfer deadline day. And then I'm going to get Mitch on, who is a journalist for BN Sports and who covers Arsenal quite frequently and has got a bit of a soft spot for Arsenal. And he's going to tell us a little bit about Arsenal and what Everton can expect on Saturday and how potentially Everton can get at Arsenal and beat them. So that'll be really good. But just before that, quickly, let's just talk about the match last night. Fantastic. Theo Walcott, let's start with him. The lad is, I think, has proved already that he does have some quality. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, but I do think that he will be a really, really good player for Everton. I'm going to put my neck on the line and say in 10 to 15 years, we'll look back at Walcott joining and we'll be laughing about this season. We'll be like, oh, do you remember that season when, it started really well, we spent all that money and then Allardyce came in and we almost, we were going to get relegated at one point. And we'll laugh about that and we'll, oh God, that was grim. And then we'll go, well, Theo Walcott came in that season and look what he did for the club. And I think he's going to have a really positive impact on the club going forward if he can stay fit. And you know what, personally, I like him. I think he's quite a likeable guy. And I'm chuffed to have him here. And I think that relationship that he's going to develop with Seamus Coleman as well could be a really good weapon to utilise in the future moving forward. Just what I will do, save it's just like my thoughts. I'll use some comments from the forum. So McAvenny says, Seamus Coleman was excellent last night, always on the move and looking for an opening. Defo has an instinct of a striker, but also tactically a very good winger. Everything crossed but him and Seamus could be a brilliant partnership. That doesn't make too much sense. But anyway, yes, him and Seamus will form a really good partnership. Now, Theo, go and knock 10 goals past those knobheads on Saturday and show them what they're missing. That's what McAvenny says in the forum. I think Walcott's going to be really up for the game on Saturday. I can't wait to see him play again at Arsenal. And I think he's going to be really up for that. And I'm expecting a really good performance from him there. Just scrolling down. BigNerf23 says he Walcott could be our best number 11 since Sheedy if he plays his cards right. Okay, that's a big shout. That's a big shout, Big Nev 23. But you're slightly more optimistic than me, but fair play. If he plays his cards right, I suppose, is the caveat there. I do think he'll have a very positive impact on us, and he's definitely improved us. And this stat backs that up, by the way. Bradley, who runs EFC Stato on Twitter, which is a Twitter account that I think you should follow because it's really good, he says that Theo Walcott had 5 shots on target in his first 2 games for Everton, 1 more than the entire Everton squad combined in the 5 league games before he joined. So, yeah, there you go. Theo Walcott has undoubtedly made Everton Football Club better already. So, fair play, Theo. Now, moving on to Coleman, who was outstanding by all accounts last night. Really gutted that I missed that, actually, now, when I think about him. It serves me right. I chose former work colleagues and Cantonese food over Seamus Coleman. That was terrible of me, and I apologise, Seamus. But Seamus is Everton, isn't he? Eggsy Blueskin says on the forum again, Seamus Coleman doesn't just play for Everton. He is Everton. And, He just seems like a really nice guy. He's a very, very good professional. He works extremely hard. He's also very good at football. And I think the fact that he came from Sligo Rovers, and no disrespect to the Irish League or Sligo Rovers, you know, but I think the fact that he had that kind of bedding in as a footballer, and he saw the other side of the game, and then he's propelled himself to near enough the top of English football. He's been playing in the Premier League now for, what is it, that must be almost a decade. No, maybe not. Maybe about 8 years, I think it is. But anyway, I think everything about him is just so likable. And when he got the injury, I was gutted. I was really genuinely gutted when he got the injury. And to see him come back and play like he did last night and give his all again, it's just so good. And I know that, you know, I always say I never, ever speak for other Evertonians, because how can I? It's silly that I have to say that, but sometimes I feel like I need to. But anyway, I just know that I kind of am when I say that we're all just over the moon to see Seamus Coleman back in blue. So we're well in there, Seamus. An amazing performance from Hill. Him. Mangala has signed. I asked a prominent Manchester City fan on Twitter what he was like, and then somebody called No Comb Rick replied and said he has the physical presence of a god, reads the game like a 4-year-old, and has the touch of a kangaroo wearing flippers. Enjoy. So, not the best review of Mangala, but I think we needed somebody else who could play on that left-hand side, and he maybe will fill a gap. He's not a permanent deal, so we can see how it goes, and then Everton can decide whether they want to sign him in the summer. It's one of them. He was highly rated when he was at Porto, wasn't he? I typed his name and I was looking over like old articles on him. I say old ones, like just they were just from before he signed for City. So it was only a couple of years. But it seemed old. It seemed like a long time ago now. And like it was something when Chelsea were in for him. And they really wanted him. And this article was like kind of raving about him. And you kind of think, how does the stock drop this low? You know, we see this with Morgan Schneider. But anyway, I'm not adverse to him coming in, and I just think we should just give lads a go, shall we? Let's before we decide to pass judgment on him, let's just actually see what he's like at football for at least maybe over 5 games. It's a novel idea. Let's try and do that. Luckman's gone out to Red Bull Leipzig. Leipzig. Who knows? Red Bull, anyway. I watch the Bundesliga highlights sometimes. It is Red Bull Leipzig, isn't it? I think. But as I'm saying that, because no one's here to correct me, and I'm just talking to myself in my room, and you, obviously. But I can't hear you, like, shouting at the phone or the radio or Alexa, whatever you're listening to this on. I don't know if it's right or not. But anyway, Luckman. Allardyce is absolutely furious about this. I wouldn't say he's furious. He doesn't seem like he's that annoyed, but he does seem a little bit annoyed that I think the club had said to Luckman, don't go to Germany, and he said, all right, I'm going to Germany. So they're not happy about that. I think they wanted him to go to a club in England, and they're worried about him maybe not adapting to Germany too well. But, you know, he's well old, he's a grown adult, isn't he? He's a young man, so he should be fine. If anything, it's a chance to experience a new league, and that I think it's good for his progression. So fine, and they're a good good bloody side, aren't they? You know, playing the Champions League and stuff, whatever. So fair play. Bessic's gone to Middlesbrough on loan. I don't think Bessic's good for Everton, good enough for Everton, but I do like him. So I wish him the best of luck there. And again, he's had a few injuries, hasn't he? So yeah, that's a shame. But yeah, good luck to Mo Bessic. I like Bessic; he's all right. And then Sandro, which is gone on loan. You know, it's one of them, isn't it, with Sandro? I don't think it's going to work, but it's a shame, really. And I've said a few times that I'd have liked the club to have persevered and to actually give him and David Klaassen, who was apparently going to go to Napoli, to have given them both a run of games. But yeah, so be it. You know, he's gone off on loan. Who knows? You know, the situation might change in the summer. Things change quickly in football, don't they? That's one of them cliches that, like, Alan Hansen says on Match of the Day and stuff. But it's kind of true, really. So we'll have to see what happens there. That was everything that happened yesterday, wasn't it? So I think if I've missed something, I apologise. But I'm sure you already know anyway. Anyway, right, OK, let's move on to the second part of the show. I'm going to be speaking to Mitch from BN Sports. Me and Mitch go way back. We worked together for the same company, and in like 2011 we took a day off and we went to an Indonesian island, and we got stranded there and almost died. So yeah, but we I haven't spoken to Mitch properly for a long time, and then we keep up. Well, I say that, like, we tweet each other and stuff, and you know, I've been following what he's been up to and he's been following what I've been up to. But it was nice to have a conversation again and a chat about football. And obviously before we started the record, you know, we had a little chat about how each other's lives were going, which was good. But he's a good guy, Mitch, and he knows his stuff, and he writes about Arsenal quite frequently for BN Sports. So enjoy the second half of the Grand Old Team podcast. Hello there, welcome back to the second part of this Grand Old Team podcast. I'm joined by Mitch from BN Sports, who covers Arsenal quite frequently. Me and Mitch go way back. We almost died on an Indonesian island once. We almost got stranded there when we were both, well, I was working out in Malaysia, you were working out there too, and then now you're in Doha, I believe. Is that right, Mitch?
Yeah.
Did I say that right? Indeed, you know, because I see when people report from there on the news, they say Doha, and I said Doha. Is that what's the correct pronunciation, or is it an accent thing?
Doha, it doesn't really matter. They're the same to me. Don't worry, it's all good.
No, okay, cool. Because I had a chat with a Belgian journalist, and people laugh at the way I say Belgium and Belgian, but it's just an accent thing. Does that sound funny to you, Mitch?
I'm okay with it, Adam. Don't worry, mate. It's fine. Yeah. It's all right, good with me.
Well, because I do get a bit of stick for that. I don't know why. So I didn't want the same happening with Doha or Doha. Anyway, so yes, yeah, so thanks for coming on, Mitch. How hot are you at the moment? I can imagine it's quite hot out there.
You know what, Adam? You'd be in completely the desert. Wrong.
What?
It's actually cold. It's
Does it
actually
go cold,
cold
at night?
Here. It's cold in the desert. I mean, January is actually winter time here, just like most of the world. And I wore a jacket today, so it's pretty chilled. It's pretty nice, actually. It's quite enjoyable out here this time of the year compared to, you know, like April, May time. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, good. Well, that's good. Yesterday I appeared on your transfer deadline day feed on BN Sports, and gave my
you did indeed
some,
yeah
on some of that, but obviously we'll look ahead to Arsenal, as you write frequently about them. So you know, Arsenal this season, go on, what's kind of going on, because that 3-1 defeat to Swansea last night was that raised a few eyebrows still. So what's happening down there?
Well, it's kind of interesting with Arsenal. I think we're we're very much a team in transition. You know, we've got a manager in Arsene Wenger who's obviously been there for such a long time and given so much to Arsenal and given the best years to Arsenal. But you know, I think most football fans could probably recognise that the worm is kind of turning with Wenger. There is an end game. I think that's not too hard to say that, you know, this is going to be his last contract at least. You know, that's up to speculation if it's going to be. He's going to leave at the end of this year or the year after. But you certainly feel as you know, somebody who follows Arsenal, that it's going to change soon. And, you know, to be honest, fans are wanting that change, I think. I think that's clear. I think our away performance this year have been really, really bad. I think that was shown particularly at Swansea, you know, that mistake by Peter Cech for the second goal pretty much summed up Arsenal's away form this season. We've lost to the lower league teams, you know, quite a few times this year when we've taken the lead, and you know, we haven't been doing very well away from home, away from the Emirates. I think at the Emirates we're a different story. There's a lot of confidence there, but away from home, at times we've been really bad. Although that said, when we played you guys, obviously you guys were in a bit of turmoil with Koeman at the time. We did really, really well. But I think that there is certainly something psychologically away from home that the Arsenal team and the Arsenal support and fans know that something's wrong there.
Yeah, it's a weird one with Wenger. I was listening to another podcast a couple of weeks back, and there was they were talking on there about why he hasn't let go yet. Apparently, there's not too much else to Arsene Wenger's life other than Arsenal. And the rumour is, and I just wondered whether you've heard about this, that he's almost in a way kind of petrified about what he'll do post Arsenal. And his life's so integrated and ingrained in that football club that from his perspective, he doesn't want to let that go. As a journalist, Mitch, is this a common theory that gets banded around? You heard anything about this before?
Well, I think there's no like hiding from it that Arsene Wenger is the last of his kind of manager in the modern game. You know, if you look at the breakdown of clubs across the Premier League and even across Europe, he has control of everything. He has control of transfers. He has control of training. You know, he has control of the day-to-day running of the club, and that, frankly, doesn't really happen anymore in modern football. So it's quite interesting to kind of see that, and I think, you know, I mean, obviously Arsenal really have gone quite hard in this transfer window. We've got Sven Mislintat, who's obviously formerly of Dortmund, who's a transfer guru, who's obviously gone back to Dortmund and picked up, you know, Aubameyang yesterday, yeah. And obviously we've picked up Mkhitaryan as well. So you feel that there is a change in the club, but ultimately Arsenal fans and you know, people around Arsenal are thinking like, when is the time to let go? I think there's been signs recently that Arsene Wenger has stepped back a little bit on certain things, particularly with transfers. But overall, day to day, he still won the club. And yeah, maybe he is a bit scared. But I think the world is turning. And I think that the club is slowly turning to realise, you know, there is going to be a life after Arsene Wenger. So, I think that there is certainly a theory there.
That'll be a really strange day when he's no longer Arsenal manager. Like, it's one of them things. Because for me, at my age, I can only ever remember him. I know George Graham was in charge before, but at the age that I'm at, I literally can't remember anyone else being Arsenal manager. So that'll be strange. You tell you what is strange as well, Mitch. Olivier Giroud moving on to Chelsea. I don't quite understand that. I mean, you know, again, I'm no expert on Arsenal, but there's a centre forward there that I really wanted to sign for Everton. That didn't happen. And they've let him go to Chelsea, who are a competitor in terms of those Champions League places. What on earth is the thinking behind that?
I think basically it comes down to Aubameyang was almost like an opportunity to take. Obviously he's very unsettled at Dortmund. He's a, you know, you only have to look at his stats. He's a fantastic, you know, I think in 3.5 years at Dortmund, he scored like 98 league goals. So that just shows you that he's, you know, I think he's probably in the top bracket of strikers in Europe at the moment. And, you know, I think when you look at Giroud, he's a fantastic player for Arsenal when he was at Arsenal. And when he came off the bench, you know, there were certainly times when he really did make a difference. But what I think the thinking is that, you know, the situation Arsenal were kind of backed into with Dortmund. Dortmund needed a replacement, you know, it was identified that Batshuayi was going to be that replacement, and Chelsea needed someone. Now, I find it funny that, you know, earlier in the transfer window, Chelsea were looking at people like Peter Crouch and kind of, you know, haggard veteran British strikers. You know, even Andy Carroll was mentioned. But you know, they've gone for Giroud. It's a loss for Arsenal fans. I think, you know, I know that a lot of Arsenal fans are saying it's sad to push him off to a rival. But, you know, I think it's maybe for the greater good because I think there's so much more potential in Aubameyang. So I think that's what the thinking is in with the club. I know that with Giroud, you know, last summer when he wanted to go to Everton, and there was obviously quite a lot of talk with him with Everton. Let's be honest, you know, within Giroud's personal life, he's over a bit of a barrel with his wife at the minute. So, you know, she calls the shots and she wanted to stay in London. She didn't really fancy a move to Dortmund. And I think that's how it's kind of fallen. And you know, good luck to Giroud, because he's a good player. He's done really well for us. But also, at the same time, he's a professional footballer. You know, he's getting run out in, you know, the FA, well, did get run outs in the FA Cup and obviously Europa League. And for a player who's looking for a World Cup place, you know, to move to Chelsea and to get potentially play quite regular football there in the second half of the season is probably quite an enticing prospect. So I think it's good business overall for Arsenal, but, you know, time will tell. We've got to see how Aubameyang settles before we can probably look back and judge how, you know, if this was a mistake or not to pass Giroud on to a rival.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's a terrific opportunity for him to get the move to Chelsea. Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, it is evident as well that his missus does run things, but that happens to the best of us. Theo Walcott, yeah. Then, I was another player, you know, I was really excited when we signed him. I thought that there were a few reservations, and I shared them as well with regards to his ability to stay fit, shall we say, Mitch. But I think on the whole, you know, when you look at it and you look at the pedigree that he's got as a Premier League player, and for me, it comes down to this sometimes. I think people can overcomplicate things, Mitch, but what you have to do as a fan when a new player comes in is say, is this lad going to improve us? Is he going to make us better? And if the answer to that is yes, and it's a pretty convincing yes, then as a supporter, you should be happy. I think sometimes we can get really caught up in these ifs or buts and read too much into things. That's the simple question. Is this player going to make you better? Can you see where he fits in? Yes, then brilliant. And I thought saw all that with Walcott, so I was pretty chuffed with it. From the Arsenal perspective, again, you know, someone who covers Arsenal quite frequently, did you sense that the fan base were, I imagine you follow plenty of Arsenal fans on Twitter, were they overly disappointed to see him go?
I think it was a bit of a mixed bag, really, because I think that Walcott has been with Arsenal for 10 years. I think when he came to Arsenal, there was so much hope, you know, when he was that young lad at Southampton and, you know, just broken into the England team, that he could push on. And, you know, at the time he was at the club with Thierry Henry, that he could learn from Thierry Henry and be almost that next Thierry Henry, that winger who turns into a striker and scores plenty of goals. I mean, he's obviously been with Arsenal just under a decade. And, you know, towards the last couple of years, you know, you've got to realise that Theo Walcott, he had a couple of serious injuries that kind of really set back his progress. You know, he had some serious knee injuries and that kind of really stifled, you know, his explosive pace. But I think, you know, after 10 years at the Arsenal, he put in a good shift. You know, there were times where he played absolutely awfully, but at the same time, you know, he came up with some pretty important goals for us. And, you know, certainly like looking at in these first couple of games at Everton, you know, obviously he scored a brace a couple of days ago. He seems like he's enjoying it there. And, you know, as much as like Arsenal fans are, you know, a lot of the Arsenal fans on social media, as you can imagine, and, you know, most Evertonians have seen it, you know, they're pretty, you know, they've got opinions about him. But I think at the end of the day, if you give that much to a club and you put that much in, yeah, of course he's been earning a lot of money and doing, you know, perhaps not as well as he should be in a top four club or a club certainly who's aiming for the Champions League. I think he's quite a good fit for Everton because he's hungry, he's got something to prove. And I think that was certainly shown, you know, when he bagged his brace against, you know, Leicester, he did really, really well there. So for me, you know, watching Arsenal, following Arsenal, I can only wish Theo Walcott the best. I think that it was a good move for us in terms of, you know, the money that we got for him, you know, in this age of like inflated transfer kind of, you know, money that's washing around the Premier League. 20 million is actually quite good value. And I think that Everton have got quite a good deal there. It remains to be seen if he's going to be a massive success, but the early first few games have shown that Theo Walcott could do quite well at the Toffees. So yeah, it's quite interesting. But as an Arsenal, you know, fan and seeing what people have been saying about Arsenal, I think that it's a mixed bag. But I don't think Arsenal fans are completely gutted because we have actually got so much, you know, more talent across the pitch. You know, particularly with like younger guys like Iwobi who could develop. So I think it's for the best, really.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he needed it. And I think what we've seen already so far is, or what I've sensed from him is like a real desire to achieve things with Everton. The thing is at Everton is although sometimes going off social media, like most clubs, you know, we can have quite a demanding fan base. And there are certain elements of that. But I think the number one thing, and I say this to every opposition supporter that I speak to or journalist or whatever on the podcast, is that very, very simple at Everton, you know, that application and the desire. And if you demonstrate that on the pitch, then you will win brownie points in time from the supporters. So two examples of that in recent times. Umar Nias, you know, not the best footballer, certainly doesn't have anywhere near the capabilities of Theo Walcott. But again, you know, is quite well thought of because he gives us 110%. Stephen Naismith was very similar. Better footballer than Umar Nias, not as good as Theo Walcott. But again, you know, that application, the dedication, all those kind of cliche things that you can say about him and about players like that. When as Evertonians, if we see that, then, you know, you do get a little bit more time at Everton and you will get the benefit of the doubt. And I think Walcott has that plus, you know, a decent amount of ability. So I'm quite excited to see how this goes. And I think you're probably right there. I think he'll be a success. In terms of the match on Saturday evening, then, UK time, Mitch, if you were just thrust onto the Everton backroom staff and you had to brief Allardyce on how potentially Everton could beat Arsenal on Saturday, what advice would you say? How do you think Everton can get at Arsenal?
Oh, that's a tough one to think, but I think basically our midfield,
okay,
can, you know, if you're you know, particularly, you know, this year, Granit Xhaka, if he starts, I mean, he's had a really up and down season, I think, for Arsenal. At times he can be fantastic, but, you know, a lot of the times he can give the ball away. And if you put him under a bit of pressure, I think, like, certainly teams, you know, I'm thinking, like, you know, mainly away performances, like at Watford, you know, when you know, players really press the midfield and put them under pressure, that's when they can kind of, you know, panic and fluff. You know, down the years, Arsenal have, you know, had really good midfield, quite composed, but you know, I think there's certainly opportunities there to take advantage of you know, the midfield, press the midfield. But then I'd also look at the defence. I think Koscielny, you know, he's our club captain, but he's certainly been off the pace in recent weeks. He's not the same player. He's nursing an injury, and it's pretty clear that he's been playing game to game recently. I think that's one of the big, you know, sad things from the transfer window, that we didn't bring in a real quality central defender. I mean, I know that certainly from what I do with my job, that there were whispers that we were wanted really to go hard in on Johnny Evans. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, with deadline day as it is, it didn't really materialise. But I think that would have been a major loss. I think, you know, someone in there to, you know, add competition with Mustafi and Koscielny would have been really, really helpful. But so, yeah, I think press the midfield and then, you know, work on the mistakes, you know, certainly in defence and also in goal. I mean, check, you know, a lot of Arsenal fans are saying that we should be, you know, changing the keeper around, because Cech in the last couple of games has made a couple of ricks. I mean, the rick against Swansea was, you know, unforgivable in a lot of Arsenal fans' eyes. So, you know, if you pressure the midfield and the defence, you've got a chance. And but that said, Adam, like, you know, at Emirates we are pretty good. You know, yeah, at home we've had a pretty good record. You know, once we set the tempo and set the play there, it's pretty hard to beat us. So it's going to take a real effort from the guys in the, you know, Everton midfield to kind of break us down. But you know you've got a good team there at Everton. So, you know, if Nias starts, or even, you know, obviously Walcott's going to be relishing playing against Arsenal. I think, you know, as much as he was a club man for us, he's going to be looking to get one over us. So he's going to be pumped. And, you know, you've definitely got a good chance if you do get our, you know, midfield and defence.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm never, ever confident going to any of the big sides. Our record against the top six, in commas, is, mate, it's dreadful, Mitch. It's really, really, okay, really bad. And I can't remember the last time we won at Arsenal. I think we're going back to like 1994, 95, around that time. Okay. I genuinely think it's been that long. So I'm not holding out too much there. So just a general, and we've only got a couple of minutes left, but your thoughts on Everton, Mitch, just from like an outsider perspective, have you covered us much this season? What do you think?
Well, I think Everton are pretty interesting this year in terms of, obviously, you know, you had such an influx of money in the summer. I think there was a lot of hope and excitement that you brought so many players. You know, like Wayne Rooney coming back to Everton was obviously a huge boost in a way to the fans, but also then you brought real quality in Gylfi Sigurdsson and Davy Klaassen. But I think that looking at your team, it's almost lopsided. You've got too many. You had too many number 10s.
Good observation. It's one that's been made quite a bit, mate.
But too many playmakers. But now it seems that, like, the good thing that you've got, I think it's obviously clear that, you know, it's a shame, but Sandro didn't really cut the mustard. He didn't really get many chances at Everton. But you've got a striker in Cenk Tosun who is proven, is, you know, at European level, certainly in Turkey, has been a fantastic player and has actually been doing it at Champions League level this season anyway, and has been a fantastic all-round striker. I think in his first game when he played against Tottenham, he looked a little bit lost at sea, but that's expected for a guy who's, you know, just moved to the country, doesn't know the league. Mm. I think that if Tosun certainly beds in, and the fact that you've brought in quality in Theo Walcott, you know, in that kind of wing area where you do need that kind of trickery, a little bit of pace, that's going to help Everton, I think. I think also Yannick Bolasie coming back and kind of growing in, you know, he had a horrific injury, but he's also a player that can, you know, on his day, cause a lot of problems for teams. So I think that Everton, you know, is it also interesting that you brought in Sam Allardyce? It'd be quite interesting to see your thoughts on Sam Allardyce, because, you know, obviously he's known as a very, you know, proper football man, a very pragmatic manager. I know that certainly in the last couple of games, you know, there was a stat going around that Everton didn't have a shot in, you know, 120, 130 minutes. I think at Arsenal, you've got to be kind of almost quite ballsy and kind of to an extent go for it, but not in the same extent that you did at Wembley against Tottenham, because you got torn apart there. I think if there's a certain element, you know, if there's like 50-50 pragmatism and 50-50, you know, take us on the counter-attack, that's where you're going to get your luck with Arsenal, I think, because, you know, at the times, you know, Arsenal's defence this year has certainly shown itself to be open to quite a few ricks and quite a few mistakes. So I think that if you take your chances and take them well and, you know, actually, you know, try and silence them with an early goal for the Emirates, because, you know, the problem with the Emirates is it's not a proper football stadium. It's not like Goodison Park where, you know, the old wooden stand, it's high up and it's got that atmosphere, you know, it's a different atmosphere at the Emirates. And, you know, if you get a goal up quite quickly, people's backs get up, you know, people, fans don't like it. So if you can do that, you've definitely got a chance of coming away with 3 points. And to be honest, Adam, you know, the way Arsenal are at the minute, you know, we're going from one win to another. You could, you know, Everton do have a chance, but it, you know, you've got to be on your best game to get the win there, I'd say.
Yeah. Especially at your place, we've definitely got to play better than we did at Tottenham. Against Tottenham at Wembley, that was a horrific performance, and we didn't even really.
Yeah.
It wasn't a case that we went at them and got picked off. We didn't get out of first gear, and neither did they. And they beat us, you know, 4-0. We were shocking that day. You know, in terms of Allardyce, Nitch, from my perspective, I see it as his remit is to keep us in the league. If he does that, then we address it in the summer. Personally, is I'd like to bring in, another young, progressive manager with a bit of an idea and somebody who can stamp an identity on the club, and we can have a bit of a vision for a couple of seasons. I don't think Sam Allardyce is the long-term guy. However, I am willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for this season. And if his... I had Gareth Farrelly on the podcast last week, and he played for Everton in the 90s. He scored a very important goal for against Coventry, kept us in the league. But he played under Allardyce at Bolton, and you know, he was saying, you know, you've got to remember, you've got to consider what he's actually been told that he needs to do. And if the priority is just to keep Everton in the Premier League, then that's what he's thinking about all of the time. So I think as fans, you know, we just need to... This season is a write-off for Everton, and what makes it worse, Mitch, is the fact that we had so much optimism going into the season, and then, you know, we've ended up with Sam Allardyce and this really lopsided squad, which is a really good observation and one that other people have made as well. So, you know, it's been tough. All right, so just to wrap up then, Mitch, one player that you could take from the Everton side and drop him into Arsenal's, money's no object, just, you know, someone you could pluck out and drop straight into the Arsenal side, who would it be?
At the minute, I would say, and if I'm looking towards the future, I'd say probably Jordan Pickford. I think he's a fantastic keeper. His distribution is unbelievable. You know, his kicks, you know, are, you know, as good as, you know, setting up chances at times. I think that he would be a suitable heir to Peter Cech. I think Peter Cech at the minute is in a real lapse of form. He's not been the player that we certainly signed. I think that if we had someone like Pickford, you know, like a young keeper, give him a chance, he could be someone that we'd certainly take at Arsenal.
Yeah, that's a Perfect. That's what I assumed you would say, to be honest. And actually, would you say him being an heir to Peter Cech, then that does make me worried for the future, in case that actually happens, because I don't think we'd be able to fend Arsenal off. He's going to be one of the players that we're going to really struggle to keep hold of, but you never know. I mean, obviously, Butland's floating around as well, so I think probably he's more likely to get a big move next. But good shout. All right, Mitch, thanks for coming on to the podcast, mate. Really appreciate your thoughts. And where can people find you if they want to read your words?
Okay, yeah, if you want to follow me on social media, follow me at Mitchos, M-I-T-C-H-O-S. And then, just go onto the Be In Sports website on English, click on the English, and I'm usually scribbling away there, writing up stories about all kinds of things, not only football. I'm covering the Super Bowl at the weekend, so yeah, all kinds of stuff on the Be In Sports website. So yeah, if you want to follow me there, that'd be great.
The Super Bowl, very exciting, mate. I will try and catch some of that as well. So, all right, thanks for coming on, Mitch. Once again, everybody, thank you for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Remember to subscribe if you haven't. Remember to let us know what we can do better and if you're enjoying the podcast. And also head over to www.grandoldteam.com. It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And it, you know, your history.